bride of Christ, to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army. So we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. Doing in 2016. This is your host today, Dr. June Knight. I'm coming to you from Picayune, Mississippi. Yes, we have moved our offices to Picayune, Mississippi. So we just want to pray blessings upon you today in 2016. We are all believing God that great days are ahead this year. Listen, we are celebrating our one-year anniversary this year. Yes, We Are the Bride Ministries has been born 1 year, and we're very thankful to have ministered and have highlighted over 200 ministers across the world in 1 year. To God be the glory. Amen. Now, today we have the honor of highlighting another one today. He's actually an apostle. Hello, Apostle Larry Wilson. How you doing, sir?
I am doing just marvelous. I cannot complain. Somebody said if we got in the bed, I couldn't stand it. We're doing just great.
Amen. Now, listen, I'm going to read your bio, and then afterwards, if you don't mind being transparent with the bride, we would love to hear your story. Okay, here we go.
You're not going to read that
Larry
whole bio.
Larry Wilson was born in Terry, Mississippi, and attended Hinds County Public Schools. After graduating from high school, he moved to Jackson, Mississippi in 1980. Pastor Wilson is a former member of College Hill Church of Christ Holiness, USA, where he was mentored at an early age under the leadership of Elder Charles Brown until his death. Pastor Wilson was obedient to the Holy Spirit and moved his membership to Living Hope Ministries under the leadership of Pastor Otis Leichter, where he currently serves as co-pastor. In 1995 and 96, Pastor Wilson received his ministry training at the Christian Education Training and Resource Center under the Department of Education, Church of Christ Holiness, USA. He received his ordination by Pastor Leichter in 2005 and is now under the covering of the Christian International Apostolic Network, which is led by Dr. Bill Hammond. Pastor Wilson has been an active member of the Promise Keepers since 1995, where he serves faithfully. He participates in conferences all over the United States, including the Clergy Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, with over 45,000 pastors. Other conferences include the Christian International IGAP, International Gathering of Apostles and Prophets, conference in Santa Rosa Beach, Florida, with a gathering of apostles and prophets from all over the world. During the PK conference in 2003, Pastor Wilson served as the volunteer coordinator for the resource store. He recruited over 200 volunteers for this effort. In 2006, he served as the volunteer coordinator for the entire PK conference, which involved the recruitment of over 700 individuals. During his journey, he has participated and served in over 12 conferences since 1994, which has allowed him to strengthen his walk with Christ. Pastor Wilson has ministered from northern Mississippi to the Gulf Coast, Louisiana, Michigan, and Virginia, spreading the gospel of the kingdom according to Matthew 24:14, which is his favorite scripture. He serves as a mentor for young men, and many have dedicated their life to Christ. The Lord has blessed him with the gift to teach, Ephesians 4:11. He has received extensive training through Law Enforcement Alliance for Peer Support LEAPS and serves as certified chaplain for Jackson Police Department, Hinds County Sheriff Department, and Victim Relief Ministry. Pastor Wilson is married to Brenda Floyd Wilson, and they have one daughter and three sons. He is also the proud grandfather of five beautiful grandchildren. Amen. Hallelujah,
amen,
sir.
Amen. Amen.
Now, before you move on with more intense about your testimony, listen, I've got to ask you about Promise Keepers, because there have been so many ministers asked lately, whatever happened to them? We don't hear from them anymore.
Well, they're still there, but the conferences are not as big as they used to be. They still have conferences. There was one that was in the Dallas-Houston area this year. They probably had about 8 or 9 this year, very small. Back in the day when it was popular, when it first got kicked off, I asked my pastor about Promise Keepers and what he felt like would happen. You know, what would God use it to do? He said he felt like it would be used of God to motivate, encourage, draw men, and then it would taper off. And that's what has happened. It has tapered off. But it's the effect of it still is being felt today. There was many other ministries that sprung off from Promise Keepers. Men got idea. There are more men now meeting together in prayer groups, the Bible studies, more men involved in the, you know, in church than it was before Promise Keeper came along. So it has served its purpose. It was a parachurch organization that came along, and it did what God intended it for, to motivate, push,
amen,
drive, and
it was
men.
Very, very powerful,
yeah.
And I am thankful that it's still going today. Okay, moving on with your life, sir. Did tell a lot about your story, but if you don't mind sharing the nitty-gritty, we'd appreciate it.
Well, I don't think there's a whole lot. I don't consider there's a whole lot of nitty-gritties. I did not, was not one of those people that had to fall in the bottom of the pit before God could use me. It was not a person like that. I never drank, never smoked, never did the drugs, never had that kind of lifestyle. But I had enough brothers that did. I was one of the younger of the seven boys in my family. Come from a very large family. So I watched and observed the negative side of all of that, the adverse lifestyle that they lived. And I always been a person. I didn't have to stick my hand in the fire to realize it would burn me. If I saw it burn you, that was good enough to prove to me I didn't need to do that.
Wow, that's good.
So that's been kind of one of the things that kept me. You know, and I felt also that the Lord had his hand on my life as a child. And, you know, just never did. Some of those things I never done. I didn't know him, but yet at the same time, some of those things I just did not get involved in. So when the Lord got a hold to me, it was not like I had to come out of the pit in order that he could just clean me up. All of us is dirty. Everybody's dirty. I don't want to miss people to misunderstand that. But I just never had the heart life. So when I came into the kingdom of God, it was a great, great transition for me. Got to know him, but some of those things I just did not know. Now, there is that side of me that has compassion for people that come out of that, because I've seen so many of my brothers involved in that lifestyle. So I do understand that.
Right.
So that's
right.
Where we are. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this, sir. I saw you last week at a meeting here in Picayune, and you was talking about the Joshua generation and what we are headed into. Look, it is 2016. We're headed into a very different year probably than we've ever known. We are in the year of Jubilee. What is it inside your spirit that you feel for 2016?
I feel as though there's going to be tremendous favor of God on a remnant, those that have the ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, not get in fear because of the things that are coming up on the earth, But
right.
those sons of God, that's male and female, they are led by the Spirit. There's tremendous favor God is going to release upon their life. We will see it as even as Joseph had it in the time of God, that was 7 years of plenty, but then there was 7 years of famine. But because of the preparation, the wisdom that God had given Joseph, and Joseph had gone through his testing, he came out number two in the nation. And I believe that is a remnant that God has had in the cave, and those Joseph is about to come out of the cave, and they're going to be placed in a platform to rule and reign. Yes, that's what I believe. That's where we are. And we will see the manifestation of Isaiah 60. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And the Bible goes on to tell us in that passage that darkness shall be upon the earth and gross darkness upon the people, but they shall come to your light. And the only reason they're going to come, because we're going to carry his glory with the light and glory of God. They're going to look for answers, and the Joseph will have the answer in this hour. I think that's where we're headed. I made a statement yesterday. Government systems of the earth, and even the politicians right now, they don't have the answer. Even the world is looking for an answer in politics. But guess what? That landscape right now is in trouble. We really don't know who's going to be the next president. People don't even know who to vote for. And I think it's prime, just right, for those remnants to arise and shine, because they'll have the answers, even as Joseph had an answer for Pharaoh. They will have the answers.
Oh, man, yes, that is good.
Yes. Yes.
Now, do you believe that we're in the process of the tares and the wheat, the sifting of the wheat and the tares?
Come on. Go ahead. I didn't hear that. Go ahead. Say that again.
Yes, I said, do you believe that we're in the process of God, where God is sifting the wheat and the tares?
That word came to me this morning in my time of prayer. I'm right in the middle of that. Someone, I usually don't answer the phone, but, you know, because I have young grandkids and have children and wife that works, I used to keep my phone near me, and my phone rang. And that question was asked this morning about the wheat and the tares. And it's amazing that you make that statement, because I was, you know, pondering that and thinking that. And right now, there is the wheat and the tares for growing together. And we are seeing that there is a separation. And I don't think there's dividing of that, but there's that elevation. The tariff is rising up, and the wheat is rising up. And you would know the difference between the tariff and the wheat, even though they're growing together. You will recognize those that carry the light, the glory, and you will recognize those that do not. And I believe this is the hour where that there's that separation. It's no longer that gray area, June. I just don't believe this is the hour where you can play church any longer. Either you're wheat or you're tare. One or the other.
Yes.
I'm serious. That's my feeling. That gray area is being removed. The distinction is being made. You would know the difference.
Yes.
You would know the difference. Yes.
Yes, that is good. Yes, that is so true.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And it's really a very scary thing, too, because it's also a time that could cause great persecution because of that.
Great persecution because of that. And June, that's another word that I keep hearing a lot, holiness, righteousness, holiness, purity, sanctification. Those words are coming back to the church. And those words have a true meaning, not in a religious connotation, but a kingdom connotation, a true understanding of what those words truly mean.
Yeah.
See, when we talk about fasting, I can fast from, but in my fasting, I need to fast unto before any change takes place.
Yes, that is good.
And let me explain myself. When God told Moses to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt represents the world. He brought them out of the world. He said, bring them back to this mountain that they may serve me, worship me. And when they got to the mountain, God told them to do something. He said, fast for 3 days in preparation that they could come meet God. Well, guess what? They fasted for 3 days. But guess what? When they came to the mountain after the fast is over, they are not made holy yet. Why? Because they did not complete the process. They didn't fast unto. When God shows up on the mountain, instead of fasting unto, continuing the process, enter into the glory realm, enter into the presence of God, they ran from his presence. They was never made completely holy because they ran from. But
right.
Moses ran unto the Lord, and guess what? He took on the character and the nature of God because he fasted unto. He went into the presence of God. So my fasting is to separate me from the world, the things of the world, from food and whatever else would hinder me. But in that process, I need to fast unto, come into his presence, because he is the one that makes me holy. When I get into his presence, I take on his character, I take on his nature, even as Moses did, because when Moses come out of the presence of God, he had to veil his face because the glory of God was all over him. So we're coming in a day and an hour where we have a deeper understanding of the meaning of the word fasting, holiness, sanctification, purity. We will see it not even in a religious connotation, but in its true meaning what God originally intended.
Let me ask you this, Apostle, because I am considering writing a book about purity and the power of it. It is purity is the key to the anointing.
You better preach.
Yeah, that's the key, and that's what the enemy wants. It's like when he sees that purity, boy, it's like the demons just go, psh, you know.
Yes.
They want to take that innocence, that purity, that holiness out of a person. That's why we have to protect it and guard it with our life. It's like the key to our superpower. You know, like
you better know it.
Children, I tell them.
Listen, the kingdom of darkness has no effect on you when you walk in that place of purity. Now, listen what Jesus is talking to his disciples in John. And he's having a conversation with them. And then he says, look up. The enemy come, but he has nothing in me. The only way Satan can touch him is he has to allow it to happen because he has nothing to identify with on the inside of Jesus because Jesus is pure, he's holy, he's sanctified, and he said he has nothing in me. He can't identify with anything inside of me. And God is bringing us to a place when the enemy comes, he has nothing in us. There's no place in our lives for him. And he cannot touch us. You follow me?
Yeah.
And Jesus had to lay his life down. The enemy couldn't take his life. He had to lay his life down. There was nothing on the inside of Jesus that the enemy could appeal to or he could identify with because he was pure.
Yes, and really, when you think about the enemy, he is like a police officer. Like, he can't touch you as long as you're honoring and obeying God and walking in holiness, walking in purity, keeping the gates closed. But if you open the door to the enemy, that's where he can come in and say, okay, you broke the law.
Come on.
I mean, am I
right? Now he has the right.
Yeah.
Right. You got it. Because look what the word says. The word says, give no place to the devil.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Don't give place to the devil. The only way you can give place to the devil is walk in sin. He's kind of like he feed off of that impurity. He feed off of sin. He feed off of that. So if I don't have anything in me that looks like that, if I'm walking in holiness and purity, guess what? I give him nothing to feed off of. He has no place in me.
Yeah.
So the minute I open that door, then he has a place. He's just like you said. Going down the interstate, and people oftentimes will have this to happen. A highway patrolman, the speed limit is 70 miles an hour. A highway patrolman would be driving. Oftentimes, I think they do this intentionally, just to mess with people's mind. He'll drive 65.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But the speed limit is 70. He'll drive 65. Well, if the speed limit is 70, I just set my cruise, pass right on by him. Because guess what? I'm not breaking any law. I'm not giving him any room, no place in me. But you know what? If I drive 75, he has a right to pull me over.
Yeah, he does.
He has a right to pull me over. But as long as I'm driving 70, if he's driving 65, I can pass right by him. Because guess what? He has nothing in me.
That's good. Yeah.
Well, praise God. Praise God.
Yes, praise God. Now, let me ask you this. I noticed in your bio you was talking about how you've been moving a lot in the South and all the different states. I do feel that. I feel there is a sovereign move of God in the South. In South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Florida,
come on.
Texas.
Come on.
What do you see?
Come on. I think it is because that the South is known as the Bible Belt.
Yeah.
But that takes on a connotation, if we looked at it correctly, a religious belt.
Yeah.
And I believe God's attention is on this area because he wants this territory. And for so long, that spirit of religion has ruled this area, and God is saying it's time for my kingdom to come in the Bible Belt. Notice Jesus did not preach a gospel or just salvation. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. And if you notice in my bio, one of my favorite passages of scriptures is Matthew 24:14. And he says this in that passage, when this gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel of just salvation, but the gospel of the kingdom is preached throughout all the earth, then the end shall come. We get the message right, and then we'll see the demonstration of the kingdom of God. But we have not had the message correct. We have preached messages to get people saved. But they get saved, and then they say, now what? They don't live in victory because I did not preach the complete gospel. Because the gospel of the kingdom, it consists of salvation, people getting saved. It consists of healing and deliverance. It consists of casting out demons. It consists of taking territory. It consists of the ruling and reigning in our area. Wherever our feet tread, that territory God gives to us. So we get the right message. Guess what? We'll see the manifestation of God's glory in our territory. And now the gospel of the kingdom, you know, the last 10 to 15 years we heard a lot of messages now about the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom.
Yes,
Of any present truth church is preaching the gospel of the kingdom because we are no longer just preaching salvation. As important as that is, it's not the whole story. Jesus come to make us whole, not just to take us to heaven, but he come to make us whole.
Yes.
And he taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? On earth. How? The same way it's been done in heaven. So we are to bring heaven on earth, not just, you know, I used to tell people and joke with them all the time. He didn't come to just give us flight insurance to fly out of here. He gave us flight insurance to fly out of here. He gave us power and authority to rule and reign here in this present world now.
Yes.
Are you hearing me? To bring heaven on earth. Let thy kingdom come. Let your will be done. Where?
Yes.
On earth. As is being done in heaven. The rule and reign of God in the earth. So long we've given over planet earth to the devil and said, let him have it. And we're going to get the hell out of here. But that's not Jesus' purpose.
Amen.
Okay, brother, we're going to take a quick commercial break,
and then when we come back, we are going to give you the floor to allow you to preach the word of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay,
praise
one
God.
Moment.
All righty.
Vision properly through the web? Do you have a website and maximizing on social media platform? Now listen, your online presence is as vital as your personal presence. Visions Communication can help you achieve that vision. We will take your vision and creatively express it to the world. We will partner with you today to reach your perfect target audience, which is souls. Contact us today at www.govisions.us and present your vision to the world in the best way. Amen.
Are you a writer?
Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org.
Okay, Bride, this is your host, Dr. June. Listen, we are back tonight with Apostle Larry Wilson. Sir, we
Amen.
Are so excited to hear what the Holy Spirit has given you for the bride. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, June, I was just thinking as we took that break, there's been a couple of things I've been ministering on here lately, and that's been the Joseph, this time for the Joseph to arise. And you know, I've shared that word a couple of times. But this morning, I was looking at something very interesting in my time of devotion. And I think I'll just share that word with them because that was some keys that we talked about earlier. Go ahead. Go ahead. What you about to say?
Oh, I was just agreeing. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, because you're about to write a book on holiness. And we talked about holiness earlier before we took that commercial break. And I think this word probably will fit into that, what I was seeing this morning. And it's a passage that some have read before and some have heard before. And I'm going to just jump into that for a minute, if you don't mind, and just withdraw some nuggets out. Let's do that. Let's just draw some nuggets out what God, the word of the Lord, is saying. And people have probably heard this. And I'm going to come out of Isaiah chapter 30. And this is fresh. It's still, the Lord is opening this word up to me even as I'm sharing it with you. And oftentimes we are plagued with problems. And, you know, we'll go through things and things start happening. And the first thing we want to do, we'll blame the devil for this adverse situation. Sometimes the calamity comes and we'll say the devil. And we'll cast the devil out and we'll rebuke the devil. But I found something very interesting in Isaiah chapter 30. And I'm going to read these two verses, and we'll come back and just kind of open that up a little bit, and it won't take long. But I'm reading from the ESV version translation. Isaiah 30 and verse 20 says this, "And though the Lord gave you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers would not hide himself anymore, but your eyes shall see your teacher, and your ears shall hear word behind you." This is verse 21. "Saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left." Now, that's very interesting. First of all, it says that the Lord gave you the bread. Notice what he said, the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. Who gave that to me? It was the Lord. That's very interesting. And then the next verse said, "Then you're going to hear a word behind you say, this is the way, walk in it." So it's obvious to me, June, that they had lost their direction. They was going in the wrong direction. They was not walking where they supposed to walk. And then he said, "You will hear a voice behind you." Go ahead, you can add to. Come on, jump in here.
You know, it's true. So many times we say it's the devil doing it. And I tell ministers this, because most of our listeners are ministers as leadership, but it's like this. As soon as adversity hits, we need to get on our face and ask God why.
Why? You need to ask the question, why?
Are you getting my attention, God? Is there something in my heart? I've opened the door. They should always come back to self-reflection. Because the enemy, it's easy to blame somebody else. That's the blame game.
That's the blame
game. Get on your face. There may be something you've done or opened the door to the enemy to give him room to do this. Or it could be God teaching you. I know a lot of churches hate when you say that.
Now, listen, you just introduced the two words. June, you just introduced the two words. You said teach you, so there has to be a teacher to do what? Teach you.
Yes.
And then the other word was maybe you went the wrong direction. You said the word direction. Well, both of those are in the text. In verse number 20, it says, "But your eyes shall see your teacher."
Oh,
so,
man.
It's seeing the teacher. The second one is, this is the way. Walk in it. So that has to do with direction.
Yes.
It's all about those two things. Now, two things you want to catch now, teacher and direction. Who said the affliction? The bread of adversity and the water of affliction. He said, it's the Lord that sent it. And then he says, the benefit of him sending it, that your eyes, notice that now, your eyes will be open and your ears will be open. You will hear word and you will see. Why? Because you became blind. Now, in verse number 22, he says this. This is the key. Then you will defy your craven carved images or idols overlaid with silver, your gold-plated metal images. You will scatter them as unclean. You will say to them, be gone. So in other words, he said, you're going to rid yourself of your idols. What is the idol in your life? What did you take your eyes off of God and put your eyes on and start trusting in? He said, consider your idols, they are unclean. And then he said, you will say to your idols, be gone. So we got caught up in idol worshiping. And people said, man, I don't worship idols. No, I don't do anything like that. I don't have anything in my closet that I bow down and worship to. Well, maybe you don't. Maybe you don't. But listen, how did all of this mess start? June, I want to introduce something to you.
Yes,
where
sir.
Is the key to all of this mess starting? Let me tell you where it's found. It's found in verse 1. It's found in verse 1. He said, aha, in verse 1 in Isaiah 30, stubborn children, declares the Lord. So the first thing he said, you are stubborn.
Yeah.
Who carry out a plan, but it's not my plan, who make an alliance, but it's not by the Spirit, my Spirit, but that when you made that alliance, notice what he said, that they added sin to sin. That's in verse 1. And verse 2 said, who set out to go down to Egypt. Egypt represents the world, without asking me for direction, to take refuge in protection of Pharaoh and seeking shelter in the shadow of Egypt. Here's the problem. He said you lost your direction. First of all, you're stubborn.
Yes.
You didn't follow my Spirit. You didn't follow my plan. You chose to come up with your own plan, and you decided I'm going to go down to Egypt. Egypt represents the world. So as a believer, I cannot go back into the world looking for answers. I have to seek the Lord with all my heart. Lean not unto my own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge him. And guess what he'll do? He'll direct my path. But the text says in verse 2, you went to Egypt asking for direction. Not only that, you went to, listen, Pharaoh for protection and shelter in Egypt. That's in verse 2. So those are some key things that these two passages teaches us. They, first of all, in verse 1 and 2, they were stubborn children. They carried out a plan, but it was not the plan of God. They made an alliance with someone other than God, and that alliance was not of the Spirit of God. And because of that, it added sin. They was already in sin, but they added sin to sin. And the next thing, they went to Egypt, which is the world, for direction. I don't need to look at my horoscope in the morning to get direction. I don't need to watch Oprah and get direction. I need to get in the Word of the Lord and see what the Word of the Lord is, the direction for my day. They went to Egypt for protection by Pharaoh's hand. What? The world can't protect you in this hour. As all the calamity come up to us in this year 16, when we see things happening in the earth, we better run to our God. He is our shield and our buckle. He is our strong tower. I cannot trust the government. I cannot trust politicians to protect me in this hour. God is my protection.
Yeah.
So they went to Egypt seeking shelter. God is my hiding place.
Yes, Lord.
So he said, therefore, in verse 3, shall the protection of Pharaoh turn to your shame, and the shelter and the shadow of Egypt be to you your humiliation. Wow. It's going to turn to shame, and you're going to be humiliated. And this is very interesting. In verse 4, but though his officials are at Zoan and his envoy reached Hanes,
everyone come to shame through a people that cannot profit them, that bring them neither help nor profit, but shame and disgrace.
Wow.
It's interesting that he put that there, because I'm a word studier, and I like to research words and see what words mean. And he said this is the result of them turning to the wrong source. Instead of them turning to God, they turned to Egypt, and they turned to Pharaoh. That would be like us turning back to the world and the world system, and turning to a president, and we put in a whole lot. We need to pray for our government, but we don't put our trust in, and don't put your trust in a man. Put your trust in God. And he said, Pharaoh protection turned to their shame. Then he said, Egypt protection turned to their humiliation.
Yeah.
Their officials or their prince went to Zoan, which means, Zoan means this, a place of departure. Where is it in your life you departed from the presence of God? Where is it in your life you departed from the protection of God? Where is it in your life that you got off track and left God's direction for your life and chose to find your direction in the world system? So it means place of departure. The envoy or the ambassador reached Haim, which represents grace has fled. When you chose to go, trust the world system and not get directions and trust God, his grace has fled.
Wow.
And what you got in place of that was shame. Why?
Yes.
Because those things cannot profit you, or they cannot help you. I saw that this morning and I said, you know what? If I'm in a tough place right now and calamity, affliction is coming up on me, maybe I need to recheck and see where did I lose my direction.
Exactly.
Because it said it was the Lord that sent the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. Why? That you may see your teacher. It's going to teach you to turn back to God.
Yeah.
Because he is our source. I thought that was a little key word this morning as we are in this new year. Make sure we don't trust the system of this world. Make sure God is our source and our resource.
Yes.
Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Joan, I know this to be a fact. In 2010, I retired from the secular world. I had a job I worked on for 37 years.
Wow.
And I trusted the company to sow into my retirement system. And I'm not going to call the union that I was a part of, but they handled my retirement plan. The union did.
Yeah.
So I worked all those 37 years, and I'm thinking at the end of these 37 years, I don't have to worry about a thing, man.
Yeah.
My retirement is all sold up. My future is all sold up. And when I retired in 2010, I received my retirement check. The first month it came. Second month it came. About that fifth month, I got a letter that said, Mr. Wilson, we're going to have to adjust your retirement.
What?
And the people that I put all that confidence in, they took $2,000 a month away from my retirement check.
Oh, my
in
Lord.
In July of that year, I went from making two-thirds of what I had been receiving was taken away.
Wow.
And boy, do you know, I finally understood how people go postal. You know what it means to go postal. As anointed as I was at that moment, as holy as I was at that moment, when somebody tells you we're going to take $2,000 out of your monthly salary, you want to say, what? Take your gun and go blow up people. But we know we can't do that. That's the flesh.
Right?
But I
your flesh, yeah.
I want an answer. And Jill, let me tell you something. I started praying. I went first to the company. I went to the union. And they said, this is what they said. You got hit harder than anybody. And all the things started running through my mind. Why me, Lord? I've lived for you, and da-da-da-da-da. There are people that work right beside me, and they didn't get hit by this thing, and yada, yada, yada. All those things, all I would hear, I heard this phrase from God the whole time I prayed about that. Trust me.
Wow.
Trust me. That's all he would tell me. Trust me. Trust me. Because what I had done, not knowing I had put my confidence in a system.
Yeah.
I put my faith in a system that when I retired, it was going to be there.
Yeah.
And guess what? It was not.
Yeah.
But you know what happened?
What?
He never told me to go get another job. He never told me to file a lawsuit. Boy, did I want to file a lawsuit.
I bet.
And you know what happened?
What?
It took several months, almost a year, and all of a sudden, the Lord began to move, open doors in ministry. And he's about, at this point in my life, he's about giving me back everything I lost. And it don't come through a retirement check. It comes through honorariums here, honorarium there. Little old lady was sold. Another little old lady was sold. I wouldn't even ask for it. There are three little old ladies every month sold into my life. Out of their source. There are people, a businessman and a businesswoman, decided that they're sold into my life every month. There's another couple that don't even go to a church, decided they'll sow their tithes. This is how God has restored what was taken from me. So I look
Pastor,
at this.
Pastor, I do want to throw something in there if I can, please.
Come on. Come on.
The Lord revealed to me about an idol. When you was talking about an idol and how we need to examine our life, I pray this brings some clarity to the bride because it really hit me pretty good. He told me that an idol is anything that we lean upon when we're hurting is an idol, if it's not God.
You better preach. It is not God.
Because when I used to, I would smoke. I get nervous and I want a cigarette. If I got real upset, I want a drink. Let's go to the bar and drink and talk about it. I've had a rough day.
Come on.
Okay, or you want to call somebody and gossip, or you want to go out and have sex, or you just want to work, you want to start another ministry, you want to do something, because you don't want to face what it is that you're going through, but God says he is jealous over us. He wants us to lean on him, in every circumstance, every time we're hurting. And if we decide to lean on something else for comfort, and it can be food or anything, if you lean upon that for comfort, you have built an idol between you and God, and he will take it away.
He will take it away. And my retirement money, my retirement check, was my idol, because that's all I was talking about. I can't wait till I retire. I can't wait till I retire. I got my little check coming in. I got my little check built up.
I can understand why. You know?
I'm serious. And it the guy sitting right next to me, worked right next to me for years. It did not touch him. But it got me. And because I was putting my confidence in my retirement check and then put it in him, he removed that idol out of my life.
Oh, man.
I'm telling you. And he proved to me, I am your source.
Yes.
Because in the text, this was the nation of Israel. And Israel is going down to Egypt for protection. Egypt and Pharaoh for direction.
Yeah.
When he is their God, and God said, I got issues with that. So since you're going to choose to do that, I'm going to send something your way. I'm going to send something your way. What was it that he said? The bread of adversity and the water of affliction. Man, when I got that letter, you better believe I was afflicted. $2,000. Woo, man, that rocked my world.
I bet.
And it did. But it taught me something. When I prayed, all he said was, trust me. He didn't give me any other direction. Trust me. Trust me. So I'm going to say to the bride.
Listen, Pastor, our time has run out, but I want to pray for you. We ask that the bride across the world comes together in agreement with us. And we want to pray for you and bless you and bless your family. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please do.
Okay. Well, Lord, bride, if y'all would all just bow your heads right now and us come together in agreement for Larry and for his family and for his
Father.
Ministry. Lord, we
Father.
Just come together in agreement, Lord, your bride across the world over Larry Wilson and his family and his ministry, Lord.
Yes,
we thank
Father.
You, God, for everything that you have brought him through and all
Father.
The trials, the testings, the purging, the sifting, the pit, the process, everything to take him, to burn him into the man of God that he
Father.
Is today so that he could come on the radio and bless us today, Lord. We thank you for the words of encouragement to the bride, Lord, the correction that he brought to the church today, that apostolic correction, where he's letting us know, Lord, that we need to seek your face, and we need to ask you, Lord, about our life and to remain humble and to continue persevering, Lord, through everything. And we thank you for that, God. We receive it today, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for his life. We pray blessings upon him and his family. We plead the blood of Jesus over him and over his wife, over his children, his grandchildren. We speak increase into their life, Lord. We pray all of the provision from heaven come to them, Lord. We thank you that you are the one that takes care of him, Lord. You are his provider, Lord. We thank you for all the people across the world that you have put on their heart to sow into his life, Lord.
Yes,
I pray
that
you
send
more to sow into his life, Lord, to sow into his vision, to sow into his purpose and destiny on the earth, Lord. We pray that you give him downloads of heaven, Lord, downloads of strategies, tools that he needs to accomplish his mission, sending him more intercessors, Lord, sending him, Lord, to hold up his arms, Lord, to help him to carry this vision that you have deposited on the inside of him, Lord. It's not his, it's yours. And because of that, you provide everything he needs for that,
you
Lord.
You do, Father.
And we just give it all to you, Lord, his whole family and everything. We thank you for his life, Lord. In
Jesus'
name,
amen.
Pastor, we would be honored if you would pray for our ministry and pray whatever the Holy Spirit gives you for the bride today.
Yes, we will. That was several passages of Scripture came to my mind as we get ready to pray.
Okay.
One of them was, the Lord said this, I will cause men to give under your bosom, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. With he caused men to give. And it's he that has caused men to give under my bosom. It was not that retirement check that was my source. God is my source.
Yes,
and he has
many
resources. And I just heard that as you was praying.
Yes.
So, Father God, we thank you for Miss June. And we have similar, Father, we have similar tracks that we've been walking in. And she is trusting you for the provision. And I thank, Father, the words of my testimony has encouraged her heart today. And not only her, our listening audience, Father, there are many that are struggling right now. Don't know where the next dollar is going to come from. Some don't know where the next meal is going to come from.
Yeah.
But, Father, if you provide for the raven, you provide for the sparrows, we are better than a raven, we're better than a sparrow. You're going to provide for us, for you are our source, and you have many resources. So I pray for the ministry here. I pray that, Father, the provision will be made. You will cause men to sow. You will cause men and women to give unto this ministry, and even those in the listening audience that are struggling right now. Don't know where the next meal is going to come from. You're going to provide, Father. You are our Jehovah Jireh, our provider. We bless your name today. And I pray that this ministry would go further and higher than her mind could ever imagine it would ever go. Thank you for the gift that you placed in her. Thank you for the call that is upon her life. Thank you for the anointing that's on this woman of God. And I pray that you send the help that she needs, the physical help, the spiritual help, those that would pray for this ministry. This is a pure ministry coming out of a pure heart of a pure woman, Father.
Yes.
Thank you for anointing. Thank you for the gifting. Thank you for the call. And I bless it, and I bless this station, Father. And I pray that you add to her life, multiply.
Yes.
Even the more. Multiplication. You are God of multiplication. And you are God of more than enough. So I pray for her and I pray for this ministry. And I bless our listening audience this day. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Well, sir, you have a blessed day today.
You too. May
God
keep and bless
you. Bye-bye.
Yes, bye-bye.